All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. When we do it God's way, He wants us to be the head and not the tail. In the next two messages, we're going to talk more about how and the kingdom will be ours once again.
Welcome to Mission to Israel, a broadcast ministry featuring author, teacher, and evangelist Ted R. Weiland. The focus of this ministry is to open the eyes of our people and give insight into the issues we find ourselves facing in this day and age. Our address is Mission to Israel, Post Office Box 248, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska 69363, or you can reach us via the web at www.missiontoisrael.org. And now, here is Ted Weiland.
Okay, take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalms, to the 112th Psalm, if you would, please. Psalm 112, we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. It begins, "Praise ye Yah, blessed is the man that feareth Yahweh, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness." You know, if you dissect those verses 2 and 3 in particular, the blessings there are really quite almost unfathomable. And anyone who doubts the blessings of Yahweh that result from, among other things, here it's described as resulting from fearing Him, fearing His, you say, well, why would we be blessed from fear? Why would we have to fear God? Well, if you recall that knowledge, understanding, wisdom, all three of them, and what great blessings they are, all begin with the fear of Yahweh. That's where our life, our comprehension of what it means to follow God must begin with who He is, His sovereignty, and the reason that He needs to be feared. There's much more. We're to love Him, and we're to embrace Him and serve Him, and so much more than that. But it begins with fear. And so here, amongst a number of other reason, the blessings from fearing Him and in my own words, reveling in His triune moral law, for anyone who doubts these blessings, just even from these two sources here, has yet, if you'll permit me to phrase it in this fashion, has yet to put Yahweh to the test. For He is not only a faithful God, and He is faithful to the utmost, but He is not only a faithful God, but a God of super abundant blessings to those of us in particular, and everyone else as well. He sends forth the rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous alike, but particularly upon those of us who belong to Him. His blessings are super over and above abundant for such people, and is a God who is able to do exceeding, not only is able, but does exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, and that works from without us as well. To the point, excuse me, that He works all things to first His own good, and therein to ours as well. I could not begin, and I've mentioned this at other times, but I could not begin to enumerate the blessings that Yahweh has literally just poured out upon myself and my family. And if for no other reason, then I'm simply not cognizant of all of His blessings. How could I enumerate that which I'm not even cognizant? I'm not cognizant of His blessings. No one is and won't be until we're fully in His presence and are apprised therein of all the blessings he has bestowed upon us. But even as it concerns my blessings that I am aware of, time would literally fail me if I could recount it all to try to relate them all to you. But if you will indulge me, I would like to relate to you my four greatest blessings. And in doing so, I hope that it will likewise be that you'll be reminded of your many blessings as well. In fact, I hope that my greatest blessings are yours as well. If not the latter three, then at least the first and foremost of my blessings. Number one, all time, always has been and always will be. For everything else is defined, accounted for, and given both meaning and purpose through this paramount of blessings that I know at least those of you here, and probably the majority that listen to these messages on the CDs or the web page, will agree. The paramount of all blessings, Yahweh's calling, and therein his forgiveness. Via his truly, truly precious blood atoning sacrifice of the Christ, without which everything else is merely transient and ultimately in vain. We just become dust again without it. And I'm sure it was for this reason and others that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 that he was determined, he said, to know nothing among them save Jesus or Yeshua the Christ and him crucified. That is, that and this is what he was really saying, I'm absolutely certain, that he was determined to evaluate, to estimate, and esteem everything through the cross and the empty tomb of his Savior. Through the God and Savior who became poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, particularly with Philippians 2, 6 through 9. That we might not merely become rich, as it says there, that doesn't begin to depict what it really is. But not merely rich, but the wealthiest of men and women upon whom he bestowed the greatest of gifts, if he never bestowed upon us anything else, bestowed upon us the greatest of gifts, his eternal forgiveness. As expressed best, perhaps, by David in Psalm 103. We're right there in Psalm, close by. Let's turn back to Psalm 103, and let's read verses 8 through 18 together. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 8, it says, Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. How good is that? That just alone. I don't know if you can appreciate that, but I know myself before he touched my life and forgave me too well to not know how just that is. Again, verse 8, Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And how high is the heaven above the earth? It's an expanding universe. Even we find that in his word. There's no end. And we couldn't even, even before that was realized, we still could have never comprehended the distance from a finite standpoint the heavens from the earth. And yet it says that's how high, if you'll recall, his infinite wisdom is and understanding above ours. But not only that, it says, for as the heaven is as high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Well, if you keep going east and you keep going west, there it's an infinite amount as well. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so Yahweh pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Verse 17, but the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, we're going to read this a little bit further, but verse 11, as high as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, and from everlasting to everlasting, his mercy is upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Now read verses 11 and 12. 10 through 12 again with me. It says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In other words, he keeps no inventory of present or past sins on those upon whom he bestows forgiveness. No inventory. I wonder if really ever contemplated the blessing that is. It's wonderful to contemplate his forgiveness, but the fact that his forgiveness means it's all forgotten. Once covered by the blood of Christ, as Paul described it in Galatians 3:26 and 27, where it says, for you are all children of God through faith, or by faith in the Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, literally immersed into Christ, have put on, New American Standard says, clothed, have been clothed, and therein covered, with Christ. Once covered by the blood of Christ, what you still recall, at least to some degree, at least I do, and am so ashamed of, an inventory that's at least as long as both my arms, what you still recall, God has forgotten. There is no inventory. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed it from us. The sins of those who have been forgiven by him. Our blessings, yours and mine alike, begin and end with Yahweh's matchless love and consummate forgiveness. Romans 4:8. Blessed, we're talking about blessings. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. Amen and hallelujah. Praise ye Yah. My second greatest blessing is depicted by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 18 and 19, if you'd turn over there. Beginning in Proverbs chapter 18. And verse 22. Proverbs 18 and verse 22, where it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of Yahweh. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from Yahweh. I am favored by Yahweh. Not that he favored me with a wife, but I'm favored by Yahweh because I found a wife. because I found a good thing. A wife named Linda. God knows how badly I needed a wife. How badly I needed Linda to complete me. I was incomplete without her, as every man is without a woman. But the truth be known, just about any man can find a wife. Now, I said just about. There are some men who are never going to find a wife. But just about any man can find a wife. That's the truth of it. For some reason, finding a wife is a scary proposition for most young men. Young, virulent men, young men are fearful of young ladies, or at least fearful of their rejection from young ladies. And that's probably it's probably a good thing that they are, because otherwise they'd be more apt to take advantage of them. But frankly, it's not all that difficult. A wife is relatively easy to obtain. They just don't know it yet. But a wife is easy to find. But to find a prudent wife, now that's another thing altogether. Men need wives. God knows men need wives. And therefore, just as Solomon declared, wives are a good thing. But how many men can say that they have found a prudent or discerning wife? Not very many. Not very many. If you've been blessed like I have with a prudent wife, listen, you need to praise Yahweh like I do often. For he has blessed you with a very, very rare jewel. Proverbs chapter 19, 14. Keeping in mind Proverbs 18, 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. But look, and it's even, you can almost see a contrast here. In Proverbs 19 and verse 14, that says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from Yahweh. Proverbs 18:22, if you didn't catch it, the emphasis is on us men. When we find a wife, when we find merely a wife, we're favored that we got a wife. But the emphasis is on us and the finding. But note here that a prudent wife, it says, is from Yahweh. The fact is, most men who aren't any more discerning than most women, in fact, truth be known, they're probably most men are a whole lot less discerning than most women are. But most men who aren't all that discerning are merely looking for beautiful wives, gorgeous wives, if they're lucky. Or so they think. Or so they think, because a beautiful wife without discernment can very quickly become a curse. As described by Solomon in Proverbs 11 and verse 22. And it depicts it so well, where it says, a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. And many a man has found that out, how he's married nothing but a swine with a gold ring in its snout. But as good as a prudent wife is, who can find a virtuous woman for her price or her worth is far above rubies, as King Lemuel queried and described it in Proverbs chapter 31, particularly in verse 30, where he says, favor is deceitful and beauty alone. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, like a gold ring in a swine snout. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears Yahweh shall be praised. As Linda, you are, by everyone who has come to know you. Not only have I been blessed with a wife, but a beautiful, prudent, and virtuous wife. Linda, you are truly, truly my second greatest blessing. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. My third greatest blessing is depicted in Psalm 127. And this is such a short chapter, let's just read the whole thing. Psalm 127, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Except Yahweh build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Young men, keep in mind that the house, building the house, begins usually with finding a wife, beginning building the home. You labor in vain if you seek a wife without seeking first Yahweh, and seeking a wife who is also seeking Yahweh as well. Verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies, his enemies in the gate." According to verse 3, children are both a gift and a reward from Yahweh. Yahweh gifted and rewarded Linda and I with four incredible, incredible blessings. In birth order, Katie, Derek, Amy, and Jared, who each in their own order are a fulfillment of Yahweh's promise in Psalms 112, verse 2, where we began this message. But as great a blessing as one's progeny are, greater yet, as Paul put it regarding his spiritual children in 3 John verses chapter 1 and verse 4, is to have your children walk in the truth. Not just in truth, that's certainly important, but in the truth, as in Christ, who was the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. In fact, Paul wrote that he had, regarding his spiritual children, Paul wrote that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children were walking in the truth. How much more so? How much more so when it's so for your offspring of your own body, when your physical offspring are also your spiritual offspring? Praise Yahweh, this past spring on his 20th birthday, I was immeasurably blessed to immerse our youngest into Christ, to join his three older siblings who had all made the same decision on their 20th birthdays as well. To have all four of our children serving Yahweh in Christ is a blessing that literally I couldn't express in words. Which then leads to, at least at this point, to my fourth greatest blessing, and I'm sure all of you here at least know where this is heading. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, where it says, Children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men. On October 22nd, 2014, this past Wednesday, I received my first crown, not just a jewel in a crown, but I received my first crown of what I hope is only the first of many more. I want to have a shelf lined, if you will, with crowns, you know, picturing it from a crown position. One of only the first. My first crown, named Ella Rose Raymer, who, by the way, wouldn't have even been possible except Linda and I had also been blessed with such a remarkable son-in-law in Timothy, comparable to the blessings of our own children. Because Yahweh first blessed us with Amy and then with Timothy, we now also have been blessed with little Ella Rose. my crown. So, what's this message really all about? Well, what it really is all about is an opportunity for me to brag and pound on my chest a little bit. And to announce, for those who don't know, the birth of the Raymers and Linda's and my first grandchild, who I'm absolutely dying to hold in my arms for the first time. Got to wait a while. They're too far away. Yes, Steve, I'm now a full-fledged patriarch, and I will puff out my chest because of it. If you remember, I preached a Father's Day message many years ago. I said, I'm not celebrating Father's Day anymore. I'm celebrating Patriarch's Day. Well, now I can do it with purpose. I intended to be a patriarch then, and I am, in fact, now. But one that comes with a responsibility, the responsibility to help pass on to her a spiritual legacy. After all, according to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance, not just to his children, but to his children's children. And although this applies to a physical inheritance as well, nothing trumps the spiritual legacy in Christ to which I and her grandmother, her other grandparents, I'm sure her aunts and uncles, and particularly her mother and father, are dedicated and determined to pass on to her. In conclusion, my four greatest blessings are pretty well summed up in Psalm 128. Blessed is every man that feareth Yahweh, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. I can tell you, it's indeed well with me. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem, in our case under the new covenant, the kingdom, all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace be upon Israel. That all who hear this message would likewise be as blessed as I am. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I am truly, truly a blessed man, and I just praise you, Father, for the blessings that, Father, you have bestowed upon me so abundantly, the four greatest blessings of all, your forgiveness, your calling upon my life, my dear beloved wife, my four children, and now a granddaughter, Lord, and we just praise thee, Father, for all of those, and thank you, Father, and Father, for all that which I'm not even aware of that you have already bestowed upon me that I will never be fully cognizant until I'm in your presence. Help others to be encouraged, Lord, and to see what they can see of their blessings, to praise you, Father, for them, and to be that much more determined to serve you because of them, but also to be responsible, Lord, with what you've given us. And particularly as it concerns those, our beloved, in passing on not only a physical legacy, but a spiritual legacy in Christ as well, that we may have an unbroken chain, Father, of those who worship and serve and love you as their God, King, Judge, and Lawgiver in Yeshua the Christ. We ask, Lord, we thank you, Father, for Ella Rose, and we just ask that you would place your hand upon her, Father, that you would anoint her and bless her, that you would call her to be one of yours, to be a wife of a mighty man who would serve you and whom she would serve, Lord, in raising up a godly heritage as well, if that be your calling upon her life. Bless Timothy and Amy, Father, as they raise this child. Give them the wisdom and the direction and the strength. Give them the endurance they'll need, Lord, to raise this child and any others that you bless them with on your behalf. Give them the direction they'll need, the discernment, Lord, that must be there in order to do so, Father, in a much more powerful and better way than I have myself. Let it be to your glory. We ask these things in Yeshua the Christ. Amen.